Today's message is titled Obedience. Oh, again. Yeah, well, we're going to spend most of the time in Revelation, so not quite what you think. Too many traditional Christians walk around and talk about God delivering them and God giving them victory over things. And I hear so much talk. Well, let me tell you something. A lot of it is just exactly that, talk. Anybody can have victory over a problem on a coincidence. Come on, we all get those sometimes too. You know, time and chance happens to all men. Bad things don't always occur. And the Bible even talks about the evildoers flourishing in Malachi chapter 3 or 4, somewhere in there. Okay, even the wicked prosper. Okay, so the things that they get in their life are more often than not happenstance. How can I say that? It's real simple. It's based on the Bible. God gives us a very simple formula for getting His active involvement in our life. A very simple formula. Churches have very complicated formulas. And so all of these people would rather follow the rules of men than the simple truth of God. There it is. We were talking about secret knowledge late last night. Everybody wants the secret knowledge. Everybody wants the inside track. Everybody wants a scoop on somebody else. Let me tell you, here it is. If you want the inside track, you want the scoop, crack and read this because nobody else is reading it. There it is. All the secrets of the universe in front of everybody's eyes and nobody looks. Blow the dust off of it. Get out of the internet and spend some time in here. Come on, this is where the secrets are because ain't nobody else looking. Nobody else is looking in here. This is a mystery. Look, I'm not trying to be ugly, but the young man last week, you know, said he knew his Bible, but he couldn't find any of the books. I didn't go very many places. I went to like 3 or 4 books, period. But, you know, the thing is that's the way most traditional Christians are. They've never been here. The last time I went to a traditional church was a Presbyterian church in Florida. Going to go visit my cousin. Sure, I'll go to church with you. Yeah, the man read exactly one half of one verse from Philippians and gave a 15-minute homily on it. This man's probably paid between $175,000 and $200,000 a year, had at least 17 letters behind his name for all the degrees he's got, and didn't give a message worth my sitting there to hear it. What's up with that? And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, these people in this congregation live off of that. They live off of that. That's the word they got. That's their word. For me, that was a Sunday at church to show that I love my cousin. Right? It didn't affect my life because I'm getting my word somewhere else. But that's all they got. No wonder they act the way they act. No wonder traditional Christianity goes through the things that they go through. They're not getting any word. It's no mystery to me. Human beings in every type of religion, in every religion, want to supplant the simple instructions of a loving God with their own man-made rules of conduct. God will be with you and will do for you if you just do what we tell you. Look at all the rules they've come up with. Don't play cards. Don't drink. Don't cut your hair. Don't wear makeup. Wear long dresses. You've got to cut your hair real short, guys, with a nice wide white wall around your ears. And you've got to wear long sleeve shirts at church every week, a white one at that. Look at all the man-made rules. Oh, you can't have a TV in your house, or you can't speak from my pulpit. I could go on and on and on with man-made rules that have absolutely nothing to do with the Word, and yet these churches will confidently tell you that if you follow their man-made rules, you will have success in the Lord. But none of it is what God says will cause Him to be involved in your life in a positive way. But yet we fall for that. Maybe not us, but all of our friends out here are falling for that. What is today? Fat Man Day, right? It's Xmas Day. And look at all of our traditional Christian friends out there bowing to the fat man today. And most of their pastors know the truth and are teaching them the lies. I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, well, you know, Pastor, if you just pull it back a little bit, if you just be a little nicer, if you just quit being who you are and change here, does the music have to be so edgy or so long or so this or so that? Do you have to preach so strong and so... Then you get what you get out there. If I wasn't who I was, if I had not been through all of these life experiences that, quite frankly, were kind of hard, I would not be the man who refuses to compromise with the truth. I would be just one more like them. Come on, I came up in church. I've watched a lot of them go. I came up in church and watched men that I revered and respected as devout men of God just run away after the lies after they'd been in for 20 years. I'm saying. The whole world is celebrating a day to God that God did not say to celebrate. Where were they on Tabernacles? I know we had the biggest crowd we ever had, but hey, that's not much in comparison to the population of this county. Will God be with them when they deliberately do what he said not to do? Will God really be with them when they deliberately work on his Sabbath and then honor the Son day? Oh, but we did it to you, God. Does he really care? Have you read enough of this to know if he cares? Is your faith at this moment being based on this word or just stuff you heard or just stuff you feel? You know, the heart is deceptively wicked. The heart is deceptively wicked. Do you know what he had to say about these two issues? I mean, I'm not going to go over them again today because we've gone over them enough. Maybe it was like 5 years in a row on the plain truth about Christmas. You ought to have it by now. I'm going to get into prophecy. Because you're living in the last days. We've been talking about it at home for 3 or 4 weeks. We talked about it last night for a very long time. Prophecies that are coming to pass in front of your face every day on Fox News and every day in the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, I list those two specifically because, you know what? The rest of the news media is lulling you to sleep. They're singing you lullabies every day. Oh, good night, da-na-na, na-na-na-na-na-na-na. They're just trying to lull you to sleep because the end is coming. The trap is about to spring on these northern tribes of Israel. These people are about to be burned with fire, hauled off into captivity, and they don't want them awake to know it. It's a conspiracy on purpose. Come on, somebody. Come on. I mean, you don't have to look around at the news much to figure it out. It doesn't take secret knowledge. You can just look at it and see what they're doing. Look at the sin abounding in the land. Talking about Bravo last night. You know, in 2003, after I moved in my house, my clicker was busted, so I could not mash in numbers and go to channels. I had to scroll up or scroll down. You got to go through the junk. We had a gauntlet you had to run. At that time, there were like 15 channels of all really filth, right? And you had to go from one end of it to the other to watch the channels we wanted. And I thumbed through the Bravo, and I'm like, that didn't look right. So I went back, and these people on the Bravo network were showing you how they're openly changing your children to homos. And they're openly saying it. They're openly saying, it's not a mistake, it's not a fluke why your kids are all queer, because we are actively making them queer by running homoerotic subliminal messages in the music videos. That's all the MTV channels and all the VHS channels. And 2 weeks later, it was confirmed in the Wall Street Journal. I'm just saying, this is the world you live in, with sin abounding so rapidly and all of the powers that be aligning up into that Bible configuration of a strong European Union and a Chinese monstrosity and the Russians itching for a fight. Come on. It's all lining up that way. Did you look at the START treaty we just passed and we signed away our nuclear deterrent and our missile defense? So now we're going to have neither nuclear deterrent to stop a war nor the defensive capacity to defend ourselves from an open attack. And what do we get in exchange for this? The Russians are going to pull a few more missiles behind the Ural Mountains. Come on, somebody, look at a globe. We don't care how far east they are. The missiles are coming over the pole. That's as irrelevant as anything I can say. What about you? Turn to Jeremiah 35. This is the signature passage. Jeremiah 35. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Go to the Rechabite family and invite them to come to one of the side rooms of the house of the Lord and give them wine to drink. So I went to, and his brothers and all of his sons, the whole family of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the room of the sons of Hanan, son of Igdaliah, the man of God, and it was next to the room of the officials. I can't read all these names. Can y'all read these names? Then I set bowls full of wine and some cups before the men of the Rechabite family and said to them, drink some wine. But they replied, we do not drink wine because our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command. Neither you nor your descendants must ever drink wine. Also, you must never build houses, sow seed, or plant vineyards. You must never have any of these things, but always live in tents. Then you will live a long time in the land where you're nomads. And we've obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us. Neither we nor our wives nor our sons and our daughters have ever drunk wine or built houses to live in or had vineyards, fields, or crops. We've lived in tents and have fully obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab commanded us. Wow. A man told them what to do, and they did it. Their family tradition, they did it. No force from God, no authority from God, but their forefathers said, this is how our family is going to be in perpetuity, and they hung with it. Wow. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invaded this land, we said, come, we must go to Jerusalem to escape the Babylonian and Aramean armies, so we have remained in Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, this is what Yahweh El Shaddai, the Elohei Yisrael, says. Go and tell the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, will you not learn a lesson and obey my words? Declares Yahweh. Jonadab, son of Rechab, ordered his sons not to drink wine, and this command has been kept. To this day they do not drink wine because they obey their forefathers' command. But I've spoken to you again and again and again, yet you've not obeyed me. Again and again I sent my servants, the prophets, to you. And they said, each of you must turn from your wicked ways and reform your actions. Do not follow other gods to serve them. Then you will live in the land I've given you. It's not about whether you build houses and sow seed and plant vineyards and drink wine. It has nothing to do with those things. It has to do with obeying the words of Yahweh God in this book right here. And yet we as human beings would rather follow the words of a man instead of following the words of the God who spoke in flame. They said that when he gave the Ten Commandments, the words, the sound waves came off in flame. And yet the people turned and sinned as soon as Moses went up on the mountain. The people that saw it turned and sinned as soon as Moses went up on the mountain. Where are the people? I'm talking about back to Adam. We're all sons of Adam at some point. We're talking about the people who will obey the voice of Yahweh God. I hope we're the ones. I hope we're the ones. Because there hasn't been many people through time that have been willing to obey the words of God and push away the words of men. Everybody wants to have the approval of a man. Why? Look at each other. We're all flesh and blood. We're all going to get sick. We're all going to die at some point. But he lives forever. What about his word? What about his words? He gave us his Torah, the teaching and instruction for all of mankind to live our lives on planet Earth in this body of mud. None of us have gotten out of here alive without it. Think about that. The snake said, oh, you don't have to do all that stuff God said. God knows you'll be like him if you disobey him. Oh, really? When has anything ever worked out that the snake said? When has any human being ever prospered when they followed what the snake said? But we all seem to want to get in line and take that snake flavor. What about the lamb flavor? I have people fuss all the time. Oh, you're going to have lamb at Passover? I don't like lamb. Wow, is that not a prophetic statement? You don't like lamb at Passover, but he's the Passover lamb. Seems like maybe we ought to learn how to like lamb. See, we're so involved with snake flavor, we can't make the switch. We need to make that flip. Get rid of the snake. Take on the lamb. Because he is the truth, the way, the life. And it comes from following his words. But you have not paid attention or listened to me. The descendants of Jonadab, son of Rechab, have carried out the commands of their forefather, but these people have not obeyed me. Therefore, this is what Yahweh El Shaddai, the Elohei of Yisrael, says. Listen! I'm going to bring on Judah and on everyone living in Jerusalem every disaster I have pronounced against them. I spoke to them, but they did not listen. I called to them, but they did not answer. Then Jeremiah said to the family of the Rechabites, this is what the Yahweh El Shaddai, Elohe of Yisrael, says. You have obeyed the command of your forefather Jonadab and followed all his instructions and done everything he ordered. Therefore, this is what Yahweh El Shaddai, Elohe of Yisrael, says. Jonadab, son of Rechab, will never fail to have a man to serve me. Obedience. All through the Bible, it comes back to obedience. Simply obeying the voice of the Lord and obeying His words to us in this Holy Bible. It always comes back to that. Funny, so do most of our messages. But you know, that's because that's what the Bible says. The Bible always comes back to obeying the voice of the Lord. Obeying the voice of the Lord. Doing what He says. These are the people that God respects. Do you want to be a person that God respects? Do you want to be a person that has God in your business working for your favor? The simple formula can be summed in one word. Obey. Obey. When you obey God, He's in your business for good. When you disobey God, He's in your business for bad. It's as simple as that. So I'm telling you, when stuff happens to people who follow traditional Christianity by honoring the venerable day of the sun and working on Shabbat, the good things happen to them are accidental. They're coincidental. They're not God up in their business unless He's showing them something to lure them out of there, because He does that when it's time. When people who were honoring the fat man today, and you know, I've got pagan friends, you heard me, pagan friends, who are honoring the fat man today, though it has nothing to do with Christianity. Right? They all worship Christmas. Don't care who you are. God is not going to be up in their business for good when you do what He says not to do. Now, I've got to go back to Deuteronomy 12 and show you where He said that, because we've done that so many times already. When you obey God, He's there for you. And when you disobey God, He's there to punish you. Now, we've come so far in America away from punishment. We don't like to hear about a God that punishes. Everybody talks to me all the time. I see these little things posted on people's workspaces about how God is always so sweet and God is always so nice and God is always going to be there and help you for good and everything's going to work out for you and it doesn't matter if you disobey Him because He's okay. God ain't like us, okay? God ain't like us. We don't want to spank our kids when they're wrong. We don't want to get in their face when they're disobedient and defiant. We don't like parents that gave us a hard time, so we don't want to do the same thing to our kids, and yet that's the way God is. Read it in the Bible. When you disobey, He's in your face. He's a hands-on daddy. He ain't backing down because we don't want to do what He says. He's not going to back down because we get defiant. He's not going to compromise with His truth because we don't want to follow instructions. Come on, somebody. God is a rock. He's not going to move because we don't want to do what He says. We got it backwards. We're going to give in or die. Isn't that what He said? He said that Jesus Christ was going to be the stumbling stone, and those that get on board go to life, and those that don't will be the rock that crushes them. 1 Samuel. What about the commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy? Don't see a lot of that going on around town. What about the commandment to hold a holy convocation, a commanded assembly on Passover? Commanded assembly. How about the command in the Torah that says, do not fail to show up at Sukkot with an offering in your hand? Don't fail. And people wonder why their year ain't going so good. You know, in the worship, God was showing me something He told me many, many years ago. He doesn't want any more shadows. He doesn't want any more gray area. He doesn't want folks straddling the fence with one foot in and one foot out. He wants a sharp dividing line between the people of this world as they become more wicked and the people of God to be more righteous. He wants the darkness to be blacker and the light to be bright. And he wants a sharp dividing line. Get out of the shadows, come off the fence, get on God's side, get in it good, get in it strong, live it out with your life, be fully obedient, because you know what? He's about to sweep away the chaff. We lived in time of the end, folks. I mean, this is not like we can play around and trifle. This is the time of the end. When are you waiting to get on board with God? How long do you think you have? You know, the Iranians just put long-range missiles in Venezuela. You realize that, right? And the Russians sold them these anti-aircraft missiles that RF-18s cannot evade. But Iran can't take delivery of them because of whatever. And so they're going to put them in Venezuela to protect these missiles that are going to be in Venezuela that can hit us in Jackson, Tennessee. Nice, huh? What lovely friends the Russians. We just signed that treaty with them. They're so nice, and they just jammed it in our eyeballs. Come on, y'all. By 2015, they're going to have an atomic bomb. They'll be able to put an electric pulse bomb over the United States that will shut down everything that you own. You know why you want books? Because after 2015, all your electronics ain't going to work. You're going to have books or you ain't. You ain't going to have cars. You're not going to have power. You're not going to have refrigeration. You're not going to have running water. It's all going to be dead. You're going to go up and walk down to the creek, and you're going to dip the muddy water, and you're going to hope there's some dry sticks you can boil it with. Come on, y'all. I mean, we're right up in it now. And starting with the fall feast days of 14 and the spring feast days of 15 are going to be bloody moons and sackcloth suns over Jerusalem. I'm not setting dates. I'm asking you, are you ready? Is your walk at your house where you live up to snuff to make the cut? You don't know if he'll come this Passover. Do you know? Did you get a word from the Lord? Do you know if this Passover he'll pull you out? Or maybe leave you behind. Do you know? There's a case to be made for Passover. There's a case to be made for every holy day. Are you ready? If this holy day was the one, do you think you are prepared to stand before the Son of Man and be taken? It says to watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. Are you on that verse every day? Pray and watch daily that you be counted worthy to stand. That word counted is an accounting term. It's like running a tape. He's adding us up. Are you in the addition or not? Samuel, 1 Samuel 15. Verse 22. Saul sinned. Saul sinned. He did not do what he was required to do by the prophet Samuel. When you get a word from the prophets, do you follow it? Come on, somebody. Hey, this is real life. This ain't playing games. The playing times is over. This is real life. This is the big leagues. You want to run with the big dogs, man, you got to get off the porch. When you get a word from these prophets, do you write it down? Do you pay attention? When you get a word from the Lord that comes through prayer or altar service, are you getting it written down? Are you taking the words from the Lord you get seriously? Because Saul didn't violate the Torah. Saul was told by Samuel to kill the Amalekites. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. When Miss Bev is up in your face and you don't like what she's saying, are you taking it to heart? Prophet Schultz is over here with her sweet voice reading you the riot act. Are you writing it down? These are prophets. You know, we tend to have fun in the fellowship and have fun in the worship and treat each other just like equals, which is all cool. But when it comes time for an ordained officer to do their job, are you following the instructions? Because that's the kind that we're about to read. Samuel the prophet told him to go kill the Amalekites. And he didn't do it. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. for those of us who were supposed to be called to be a kingdom of priests in the kingdom of God, that should scare you to the bottom of your shoes. Because if we ever reject the words of the Lord to that degree, He will reject us as... You know what that's saying? That's saying you're not going to be in the kingdom. Out with you. You see, we're living in serious times. These are serious things. It's a serious word. We don't have time to play. When we get word from the Lord, we've got to take it in prayer, on our face, serious, with all we got, to make sure we're getting right with it, and we're following it, and we're moving on it. Because you're living in days where God is adding up who's going to be in His kingdom and who's not. And He can hit that minus button just as quick as He can hit that positive button. Right? Plus, minus. Ever done the 10 key? It's not 1 plus 1 is 2. It's 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 minus. He's totaling up. He's running the tape. The Greek word is an accounting term that means to sum up a column of figures. Are you in the right column to be summed up? Ooh. Ooh. Heavy, heavy, heavy. Back to Jeremiah 36. Obedience to God and His word is your whole obligation under this covenant. Are you in covenant? See, everybody comes in here. No one's ever come in here and said, you know, Pastor, I'm not saved and I'm not sure and I don't really believe, and talk me through it. Because I treat people that do not know different than I treat people that come in here and say, oh, yeah, I'm saved and I know the word and I know the Bible and I'm doing this and I'm that. Okay, I take you at face value when you come in here. When you come in here and you tell me that you're an on fire for God Christian, I take you at face value that you're an on fire for God Christian. Okay, so then I start going through stuff with you. And I expect you, when you tell me, oh, I know my word, I expect that that's what you meant when you said, I know my word, that you actually know the word. If you've accepted the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your personal sins, you're in the covenant. Well, maybe they didn't tell you what the terms were, so I'll explain it for you. You said you would do everything in this book. And He said, I'll blot out your sins. It's that simple. Your obligation under the blood of Jesus is to walk by the word. His obligation is to forgive your transgressions. If you're not walking by the word, He doesn't have an obligation to you. Because you're out of covenant. And then you've got to get back in covenant again by repenting. Repenting doesn't mean doing it again. Repenting doesn't mean continuing to break the laws and the covenants. Repenting means, okay, Lord, I'm going to stop. I'm going to do it your way. I will take the lumps. It's okay. It doesn't matter. I'm going to get back into obedience because I need the forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I got to have forgiveness. Forgiveness from the Lord for me is not an optional thing. I'm not ever going to be so good in this body of flesh that I'm not going to need to be forgiven. Guess what that means? My obligation is I'm never going to be in a place where I can refuse to obey. Verse 1, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words I've spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah until now. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, each of them will turn from his wicked way, and then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. This is the way it has to go. When we turn from our wickedness, then we can have forgiveness. We cannot have forgiveness while we're walking in the wickedness. I read it properly, didn't I? We turn, He forgives. We turn, He forgives. We turn, He forgives. This is a lifelong, continual, repetitive process. Because you know what? Most of us will have sinned by this time next week. It's something. First you stop the sins of the hands, then you got to stop the sins of the head, then you got to stop the sins of the heart. Right? Right? Maybe you get lucky and you can stop a heart when that stops a whole bunch of them on the way out, right? But that's not normal. That's not normal. Maybe you get lucky and that happens where you can stop a heart one and then they don't go to the head and don't come out the hands, but that's not normal. If you get one of those, man, you need to really be praising God up in here. You hear me? I mean, that is a shout to the Lord for victory. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you ought to be the most vibrant person in here if you get one of those. We turn, He forgives. We turn, He forgives. We don't turn, we don't turn. We carry it. And then we wonder why we get attacked by the devil. The devil knows, oh, you're one of them. Don't ever think that you come in here and you're going to live God's way and you're going to be filled with His Spirit and you're going to be worshiping God like this and the devil doesn't know who you are and everything you do and every place you go. Don't think that you're not on his watch list. The 10 most wanted, or the 30 most wanted in West Tennessee are sitting in the room. The 30 most wanted by the devil are sitting in the room. All these people out here worshiping the fat man are right where he wants them. They're out there worshiping the fat man in the red clothes, and it's exactly where he wants them. Why is he going to deal with them? He's already got them in complete idolatry. Why bother them? Leave them alone. They're happy over there. You know, you only got to switch two letters to turn Santa to Satan, right? Pretty plain. Do you know that they always come as an angel of light? Do you know that they always look like a preacher of righteousness? Do you know they always want to look on the outside like they're the righteous and the right ones and the good ones? I'm not going to turn. Well, we will get there later. The three letters, Christos, Chi, Xi, stigma, the three letters form the outside of the word Christos, Chi and stigma. But the inside, the Xi, is the heart of the snake. He's showing you a picture more than he's giving you a number. We're always trying to take our English stuff and make a number out of it. He's showing you a picture. It looks good on the outside. It's affecting what everybody is telling you you're supposed to see on the outside. But the inside is the heart of the snake. What's the heart of the snake? You don't got to keep that Torah. You don't got to keep that Torah. That's the lamb flavor that comes from the living God. You've got to keep the Torah. But the heart of the snake is you don't got to do what God said. Because when you do what God said, you're one of His. And He'll forgive you. And He'll take care of you. But when you don't do what God said, you're one of the snakes. So Jeremiah called Baruch, son of Neriah. And while Jeremiah dictated all the words the Lord had spoken to him, Baruch wrote them on the scroll. And then Jeremiah told Baruch, I'm restricted. I cannot go to the Lord's temple. So you go to the house of the Lord on a day of fasting and read to the people from the scroll, the words of the Lord that you wrote as I dictated. Read them to all the people of Judah who come in from their towns. Perhaps they will bring their petition before the Lord, and each will turn from his wicked ways, for the anger and the wrath pronounced against this people by the Lord are great. We live at the time of the end. Everybody wants to talk about prosperity and happiness and money and greed and all this other stuff. We're at the time of the end, folks. The wrath of God and the great tribulation are right in front of us. And all of the world powers are lining up for the climactic battles at the end time. The wrath of God is very great. The tribulation against the body of believers who refuse to obey the voice of the Lord is going to be tremendously bad. Horrible. And yet we're not teaching the people. We're not explaining what's going on. We just want to lull them to sleep with a little half a verse here and a little half a verse there. And we know Christmas isn't something God wanted, but we're going to teach against Passover. You just come to Ishtar and we'll have the colored eggs. Oh, we're not going to keep Sukkot. We'll have to do all that. But you come, we're going to have this great Christmas party. It affects a whole lot more churches than you think it does. How, man? How? Do you think this world system is going to repent and turn to Torah? Don't bet on it. Do you think this world system is going to help the Jewish people rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount? You think they're going to band together for them? You know the EU's been in bed with the Palestinians for the last 20 years, right? The EU funds the Palestinian Authority. You realize that, right? They want the thorn in Israel's side because they're still anti-Semitic. You realize the neo-Nazis and the skinheads are getting stronger in Germany. They're the ones behind throwing the Turks out, but they don't want to stop with the Turks. The Nazis didn't start with the Jews. They started with the gypsies. And when they got the gypsies run out, they turned on the Jews. They're going to run the Turks out first and then the Jews. Got a friend of mine I went to kindergarten with. I beg her every time she comes to visit the temple, please move out of Germany. Please come back home. Please. Please. Don't stay over there. Oh, no, it's not going to be that bad. Oh, yes, it's going to be that bad. Get out of there. Get out of there now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Have you read the book of Revelation? Have you read the book of Daniel and the book of Ezekiel? You know, Ezekiel's written to these United States. It's kind of hard to read Ezekiel without shaking in fear. It's written to the country you live in. Our precious United States. I love my country. I love it. The land of freedom, the home of the brave, right here. Ezekiel's written to us. Ezekiel's not going to happen to the our friends in Judah. No, no. They got a different book for them. Zechariah. Ezekiel belongs to us. There's bad stuff in Ezekiel. There's desperately bad stuff to Ezekiel. And all of our friends out there are going to face all that. I'm not happy about that. It doesn't make me all, oh yeah, they deserve it. No, it's like, man, wake up! Wake up! Turn the Torah before it's too late! And you know, I talk to people in the church who tell me they're Torah observant. You've heard me say it over and over again. I'm not trying to be facetious or ugly. Torah observance doesn't mean wearing zits on your belt loops. Torah observance is a way of life. I know people that put zits on their belt loops and then go out and work on Shabbat. Come on, man. It's a way of life. You've got to live it. You've got to obey Him. Romans chapter 22. You know, the whole time we've been doing this, I've been telling people to get ready, get ready, get ready. And my daughters sometimes get mad at me. You say the same thing every week. You're like a broken record. I'm sorry, I am. Romans chapter 2. I am like a broken record. I am saying the same things every week over and over again. Obey the Lord because His coming is soon. Obey the Lord because His coming is near. Obey the Lord because you may not make the cut. Obey the Lord now while you have an opportunity in peace and plenty. No one's searching you down like a wild animal to kill you today. Get right with God while you have the opportunity. Because the time is coming when they're going to hunt you down like a pack animal. And you won't have a sanctuary. Every human being on the earth will be looking to kill you. Didn't you watch the Left Behind movies? Without the mark, they're all looking to kill you. I read from you in a time past about In Exodus 13, where it says, the keeping of unleavened bread is the mark of God on your hand and on your forehead. Right? Right? If you've got God's mark, you can't take Satan's mark. Romans chapter 2. Verse 2. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. Okay, I'm not going to redo this, but if you go back over here and you start in verse 18 and you read all of these terrible things in chapter 1, this is what God's wrath is coming, and His judgment is based on truth. Okay, if you read Romans chapter 1, it looks like modern day society. It was not true in America 50 years ago, but it's true in America right now. This is what our contemporary society looks like. God's judgment against this behavior is based on truth. His wrath is being revealed against this stuff. What's the antidote? Torah. The antidote is Torah. The antidote is to obey the voice of the Lord. Then you don't have to worry about all that stuff. Now we know God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when we, a mere person, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? So here we got people in Christian church doing the same things people in the world do, and the Bible writer is asking us, do you think you can do this stuff in the house of God and escape the judgment? Let me ask you a question. In the book of Ezekiel, God shows Ezekiel a vision of all the leaders of Judah worshiping idols and creeping things and disgusting things in the temple of God. Did they escape God's judgment? No, they did not. So what makes people think that these pastors can be having homosexual relationships and girlfriends in the church, and all of these members can be having adulterous affairs with each other, and they can be living and breaking all of God's laws, stealing, lying, breaking Sabbath, Christmas, the whole package, and they're going to walk away scot-free? Oh, we're going to go in the rapture. All the Christians are going to go in the rapture. Really? Really? Well, I'm going to mess some heads up if you think that. Because God is saying you don't escape His judgment when you play in the house of God. At least those people got the excuse they're ignorant. Problem is, people in the church are willfully ignorant. Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. What have you done? What have you done? So we make up our own man-made rules about what's to be done and what's not to be done. We make up our own man-made rules about, well, if you don't cut your hair and you wear a dress and you have makeup and don't dance and don't drink. And God's righteous judgment is based on Torah. It's not based on your household rules. It's based on Torah. If you're living Torah, you got right standing with God. And I'm going to read you a verse on that in a few minutes. If you follow His Torah, you got right standing with God, and God is looking in your life to make good things happen. And if you're not walking in Torah, you are fooling yourself. And it's not going to happen to you except on accident. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. Okay, He will give eternal life. Do you want those things? Verse 7, is that what you want for your life? Do you want to put your name in that sentence? Then you got to walk by Torah. You got to live it. You can't just talk it. You can't just teach it. Jacked up a Torah teacher one time. It's not in the teaching, brother. It's in the living. You know, you can teach it all day long, but if you don't live it. Got a rabbi friend, would love to bring him, but he's got to step up. Got a rabbi friend, love him dearly, got a lot of great stuff to teach, but if he's not going to live it, I got an issue. See, right there, verse 7. Verse 8. But for those who are self-seeking and reject Torah and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Got a lot of Sunday Pentecostal friends, okay? If you're self-seeking and you reject Torah, there's going to be wrath and anger. You cannot tell me that the law is done away and expect that you are going to go into rapture. Wrath and anger do not make rescue. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. Okay, no exceptions. Trouble and distress for everybody who does it. What's evil? The venerable day of the sun is evil. Why is it evil? Because God set aside the Sabbath. And when you work on Shabbat and you take another day, it's pagan idolatry, any way you want to slice it or dice it. How can Christmas be evil? It's so good. The baby Jesus. Jesus never told you to worship Him as a baby. Jesus told you to worship Him as King. He told you not to worship the day of His birth. He told you to honor the day of His death, because His death is what frees you from bondage. Every person that does evil, there's going to be wrath and destruction. First to the Jew, then for the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace for everybody who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Greek. For God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will perish. Want your name in that sentence? Press hard, 5 copies. You want to put your name in that sentence? All who sin apart from the law, put your name in there, will perish. All who sin under the law will be judged by the law. Oh, that's just as bad, Pastor. No, it's not, because Jesus is in the Torah. Jesus is in the Torah. The law is the Torah. The mercy, the forgiveness, the grace is in the Torah if I repent. That's why He had to be hung on a cross, because they typically killed you by stoning, which allowed you to get on your knees and repent. But He was hung on a tree so He could bear the curse of eternal death. It's when you can't repent before you die that you're cursed. That's why He was hung on a tree, so He did not have the opportunity to get on His knees and repent. So He bore the second death for you. So yes, I'd rather be judged by the law. Thank you. I'd rather be judged under the law, because I can always claim the mercy of Mashiach under the law. But if you perish, there's no mercy. For it's not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight. It's not those who teach the law who are righteous in sight. But those who obey the law will be declared righteous. When you obey the law, you've got God's favor. When you obey the law, and we're talking about the criminal law of the country, we're talking about God's Torah. When you obey the Torah, you have standing and favor. When you obey the law, He's in your business for good. When you obey the law, He's looking to do things for you. When you obey the law, He's looking to make it work out for you. It's when you don't obey the law that He's up in your business for bad. You want to be declared righteous? Kind of works for me. And you got to keep His law. You got to do what He says. You can call on His name all day long, but if you scorn His words, you're not going to get a whole lot. What about the sacrifice of Jesus, Pastor? Well, what about it? If you take on the blood of the covenant that makes you holy and turn around and disobey Him to His face, what do you think you're doing? Hebrews chapter 10. Look, this is not meant to be a hard sermon, even though it seems to come out that way. This is meant to be an encouraging sermon. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you living by His law? If you are, then you just read where you got declared righteous, right? If you're living by His law, you ought to be feeling pretty good right now. If you're living by His law, you ought to be getting some hope well up in you from the Holy Ghost saying, maybe I'm going to make the cut. Maybe I'm ready. Maybe if He comes on Passover, it'll be a good day. Come on. If you're doing what's right, if you're following the stuff, if you've made the changes, look, we got people here that gave up their good jobs over Shabbat, right? If you're doing it, then it ought to be looking good for you. Verse 26. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. Praise God we have a little process in this window before it gets shut. But you know what? There comes a point when we've decided that we're going to abandon the Torah and God says, you know, I've been fooling with you just so long. You want to know how I can tell you that? Did Nebuchadnezzar burn Jerusalem or did he not? Did Nebuchadnezzar bear the temple that bears the name of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh? Yes, he did. God bless you guys, man. Hope to see you again sometime. If he brought it to a close for them and he doesn't bring it to a close for us, then he's become a respecter of persons and his word is void. So there's going to be a closing for us. Just like there was a closing for them. He brought it to a close. He gave them time to repent. He sent his prophets. And after a period of time, he brought it to a close. He brought Nebuchadnezzar. And they burned the city with fire. And they burned the temple down. It's going to happen here. We're given a space to repent. And it's going to happen here. If you deliberately keep on sinning. But only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Okay, so what about the sacrifice of Christ? I'll tell you about the sacrifice of Christ. Once you've taken the sacrifice of Christ, you are obligated. You are obligated. Once you have taken the sacrifice of Christ, thank you, sir, you have to do what he says because you are under the blood of the covenant. Now, your obligation under covenant is to obey. His obligation under covenant is to forgive you when you stumble. But is it stumbling or is it willful disobedience? Is it stumbling out of the weakness of the flesh or is it defiance? I'm not going to do what you say. Come on, somebody. That's between you and the Lord. Revelation 5. This is coming to a church soon near you. This is...
This is coming to an encampment in the woods near you.
I love my friends who teach Torah and then go out and work on Shabbat. Or refuse to bring their tithe to Sukkot. I love them. But when you do that kind of stuff, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. You're storing up wrath. You're not storing up good stuff. You're not storing up happiness. You're not storing up a good place in the kingdom of God. You're storing up wrath and indignation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. It's the doing that gets you noticed by God. They sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and nation and people. And you've made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will rule on the earth. What did he tell Saul? You disobeyed me and I rejected you as king. You disobeyed me and I rejected you as king. Well, let me ask you a question. You were purchased. You were bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You weren't a cheap date. He couldn't just throw 30 shekels of silver on the floor to redeem you from where you were, where I was. No, he couldn't throw a talent of gold to beg for your soul. The most precious thing ever offered in all of eternity was the precious blood of the Son of God, is what it took to redeem you from the second death. How precious is it to you? What does it mean to you? He bought you from the second death from which there is no return. What does it mean to you? Are you willing to obey him? Are you willing to serve him? Are you willing to do what he says when he tells you something? Because that's the price you have to give him. It's an obligation. When you take the blood, now you're obligated. Will he reject you as king? Saul was rejected as king for his disobedience. Are we going to be the people who disobey the Lord God Almighty of heaven and earth to the place that he rejects us as king? Because you see, you were purchased to rule. But if you're going to rule, you've got to obey. And if you're not willing to obey him now in a body of mud, you will not be ruling with him in that day. You can mark it down in the margins of your Bible. You'll find this out one way or the other. And I'm hoping you find it out the good way, the right way, by obeying and being happy on the day of judgment. God Almighty is real. The God Almighty of the holy Hebrew people is real. This holy Hebrew Bible is real. There is no other word of God. His words never fail. Revelation 7, verse 9. After that, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their face before the throne and worshiped God. Don't tell me not to get on my face and worship God. It's right here. If it's good enough for them, I guess it's good enough for me right in this place. Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to be for our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? Where'd they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who've come out of the great tribulation." They came out of the great tribulation. Is that how you want to get here? Is that how you want to get here? We're going to read about it in just a minute. And I'm going to tell you, you really don't want it. Now, they got a good place. If you find yourself there, I want you to know what to do. You got to obey Torah in the face of torture and death. That's what you got to do. Don't make any mistake about it. If you weren't willing to do it now, you're going to learn to do it then. I want you to think about that one for a minute. You're living in the United States of the world with the greatest amount of prosperity and happiness and peace that's ever been known in the history of humanity from the beginning of the world until this day. You have more to eat and more to drink and a better place to live with heating and air and all the conveniences and modern cars, and you have everything you could ever imagine in your life. And all you've got to do is serve God by keeping His Torah. But these people did not do that in that time. They had to learn it the hard way, okay? What's Beverly always saying? Hard head, soft behind. Don't be hard headed. Do it now. Do it now. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, and they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Okay, if you get left behind, it's worth going through the tribulation. Amen? Why don't we make it out on the first rave? Why wait? Why wait? Why not do it now? If you don't obey God now, they're going to torture you to death over the Sabbath and the holy days. You just make that completely clear. They are not going to allow you to just starve to death patiently in the woods. They're going to hunt you down like a pack animal, and they're going to torture you to renounce this way of life and this truth you've been taught in here. Make no mistake about it. It's in the Bible. We're going to read it. You will be hunted down and tortured to break out of this truth of God we're teaching you. If you're left behind, get in line first. Because the wrath of God is not going to be poured out until the last Christian is tortured and killed. It's not a matter of you're going to make it through. God is not going to allow you to see the wrath. You will be tortured and killed before the wrath starts, and that will be in less than 42 months. It'll be less than 42 months. So just go ahead and get in line right up front. Just go ahead and get in line. You know what's coming. Just go get in line. Those who will obey God right now will make the rescue of the saints, and they will not have to prove their obedience in the great tribulation. Revelation 12. Either way, to make it into the kingdom, you're going to have to prove obedient. It's not like you don't have to prove obedient. Get that thing for Vaughn. Remember we talked about last night? You're going to have to prove obedient. So you can either obey now or you can obey then. But you're going to have to obey God one way or the other to get in this kingdom. One way or the other. You can either do it now or you can do it then. Then it's going to be a lot worse. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Okay. This is the next great spiritual event to take place, is the war in heaven. There's going to be war in heaven. And Michael and his angels are going to fight against the devil, and they're going to cast him out of outer space and back down to planet Earth. That will not be a cool day to be living on planet Earth. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in the heavens. That's the second heavens. And the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent who called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. And he was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now has come the salvation, the power, the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Okay, is that you now? Is that you right now? Is that you today? December 25th, 2010. Are you in that role? Are you being counted up on the 10 key in heaven? You're on that role. The blood of the Lamb, which means you're asking God for forgiveness of your sins. The word of your testimony. I've given parts of mine. Several of you have given parts of yours. You know, the word of your testimony helps somebody else, even if they don't accept. Therefore, you have rejoice, you heavens, and those who dwell on you. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Now give it to Vaughn. When the dragon saw he'd been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. And the woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach. Okay, so look here. The woman's going to escape for a time, times, and half a time. That's 42 months. It's the 42 months of tribulation. The woman's going to escape for the 42 months of the tribulation. Are you going to be part of that? Are you going to escape? You don't got to leave, brother. Brother, you don't got to leave. I just gave that to you. Okay, that's for you, bud. Are you going to escape? There's a congregation of the obedient. Now, don't get confused with that word desert. That word desert is the Greek word eremos, and it does not mean a dry, hot, sandy place. It means a remote place. It means a remote place. Brandon had a great film, Dust of the Rabbi. He goes to a mountain in Galilee, and it was called Eremos Mountain. It wasn't dry, it wasn't hot, and it wasn't dusty. There are other words for the dry, hot, dusty places that we typically refer to as desert. Araba, Negev, there's several others, I don't know them all. Eremos. Look, when you have a dual fulfillment prophecy, former fulfillment guarantees latter fulfillment. You can get that. When you have a dual fulfillment prophecy, when there's a fulfillment in the past and a fulfillment in the future, the fulfillment in the past is an absolute guarantee of what's coming in the future. You had that with the abomination that makes desolate, did you not? You had the abomination that made desolate in the time of Antiochus, but Jesus is warning you of an abomination that makes desolate in your future. The church was banned in civilization in 325 AD by Constantine. On pain of death, you were refused to Judaize on the Sabbath, and the church fled to an eremos place in the Swiss Alps for 1,260 days to the years to the day, when they come out in the German mountains and the German princes tell the Pope they're not going to kill them anymore. Exactly 1,260 years. They were in the Swiss Alps, protected by God to a place. That is the guarantee that there's going to be a congregation of people who will obey God that are going to be taken for 1,260 days, 42 months, away from the serpent's reach, will not face the great tribulation. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. That's, come on, if that ain't shouting ground, I don't know what is. But you got to live by His commandments and you got to obey Him. How do I know that? Come on down. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. There's going to be a flood of devil-enraged people to want to kill us, but the earth is going to keep it from happening. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman. Okay? Woman got away. Woman got away out of the serpent's reach, and now the dragon is mad as a hornet. So what does he do? He goes and makes war at the rest. That was a nice save, wasn't it? He makes war with the rest of the offspring, those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Without obeying the commandments of God, you don't even get listed as the people of God. Come on, somebody. It's right there. It's right there. There's 4-to-1 verses that you've got to keep God's commandments and obey His Torah than there are that you've got to be filled with this Holy Ghost. I'm just saying. The commandments of God, the testimony of Jesus, that are left behind. They had them, but they didn't live them. They were teaching them, but they weren't walking them. It's not who walks the walk, talks the talk, it's he who walks the walk. So you've got people that are talking the talk, got left behind. And he's going to make war against them. And as we're going to read in chapter 13, he's going to be given the power to destroy them completely. Left behind is not cool. Nothing cool with it. Not cool. It's going to be a congregation of the obedient to God Almighty who are under the blood of the covenant, taken to a place out of the serpent's reach and spared from the great tribulation. They've obeyed God and have accepted the blood of Yeshua Messiah, the payment for their sins, and they're not afraid to talk about it to others. They're not afraid to talk about their former transgressions because they're freed from it. Heard a great message about the great things God has done and talking about the great things He's done in your life. And I was thinking to myself, as this person read the events, oh, those are nice, but those are nothing compared to some of the stuff that Beverly's been through. Nothing compared to some of the stuff that I've been delivered out of. And probably some of y'all in here have been delivered out of great, horrible things that people are enslaved permanently and never escaped, yet God stepped in and rescued you. Come on, those are things to shout about. That's a testimony right there. I was in bondage to drug addiction, but God freed me. Come on. I've been addicted to some of this stuff. I've been involved in some of it. And I've been freed to serve the living God. And then He set me in a place to teach obedience to His Word. That's what most of y'all were called here to do. That's why the dragon is making war against them. But there's a congregation of people who hold to the testimony of Jesus, but they did not make the cut. They did not make the cut. Revelation 13. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads with crowns on his heads, and on each head a blasphemous name. And the beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had the feet of those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. And people want to make a federal case out of these. Just go to Daniel, look up the different beasts, okay? The nuances here and this allegory are not going to make any difference to you. It's up in the last verse, 17 of chapter 12. Holding to the commandments of God and having the testimony of Jesus. That's the operative part. All the other stuff is going to be irrelevant to you. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed, and the whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Okay, this is something you need to know. The whole world is going to follow the beast. The whole world. No place to escape. You're not going to run off to Guadalcanal. You know, a man was so shocked by the horror of World War I, he said, I'm getting out of this place. This is awful. I'm going to go to the furthest reaches. I'm going to go out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Surely warfare will never touch me again. He moved to Guadalcanal, scene of the worst battles of World War II. No place to run and hide. The whole world's going to be given over to this. Men worship the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. Who's the dragon? The devil. They're going to worship the snake, y'all. How are you going to survive in a world that worships the snake? And they also worship the beast and ask, who's like the beast and who can make war against him? And the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. Hey, same number, same amount of time, we're out of here. Same amount of time that the congregation of the obedient is gone. 1,260 prophetic days of 30-day months is 42. Same time. So the time that the woman is out of the serpent's reach, the serpent is going to have demon-enraged and demon-driven people destroying the remnant of the offspring. That was verse 17, right? Going to make war against the rest of her offspring. The beast was... He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. Okay, there's those who live in heaven. Did you get that? There's those who live in heaven. Amen. And he's slandering them. He's given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation, and all the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. No escape. No escape. If you're in a book of, if your name is written in the book of the Lamb and you're left behind, you'll have to give your life over into tribulation to make it into heaven. It's that simple. But you're not going to do it by following the beast. You're not going to do it by compromising with the world. You're not going to do it by working on Shabbat and working on holy days. You're going to do it by being killed for work for not working on Shabbat. You're going to have to be killed for a Judaizer. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to be killed as a Judaizer? Are you ready for that? It's coming back. This is how this whole process started. You're at the end of the book now. Okay, so much of this has already taken place. You're at the end of the book. Are you willing to die to be a Judaizer? Because if you're not willing to die now, you're gonna have to prove it in real life. You hear what I'm saying? If you're not willing to die now, you're going to have to prove it for real life. When he says count the cost to see if you're worthy to take on the blood of the Lamb, he wasn't playing. Count the cost. Him who has an ear, let him hear. You got ears? Okay, listen up. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword, but the sword he will be killed. This calls for the patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Are you willing to stand and be patiently endure that? Are you willing to be faithful in that? Are you willing to go through what I just read? Because Jesus Christ is the revelator that's telling John this, and he's telling you, you in the last days are facing this eyeball to eyeball. Are you ready for it? Because those who are ready are the ones who are going to be taken to the rescue, and those who are not ready are going to go into tribulation to find out how and why. Are you ready? Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all of the authority of the first beast and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great miraculous signs. Are you ready for that? Even causing fire to come down from heaven into full view of men. Okay. Are you going to be blown away by that? Are you looking for signs and wonders? Is it miracles in church that bring you here? Or is it the obedience to the Lord? Because this beast here is going to be able to do miracles to blow our minds, even bringing fire down from heaven like Elijah. And surely the whole world's going to go, surely this is the great God. And if you don't know your word, I said, if you don't know your word, you're not going to be able to stand this onslaught. You're going to be swept away with it. Because if you're not ready to obey Him, see, people that say, oh, well, I'll get it back in the Great Tribulation. That's a fool's game right there, man. If you can't do it now, what makes you think you can do it then? If you can't face your boss now when you can get another job and say, I'm not going to work on Shabbat, how are you going to do it when they're going to kill you when you open your mouth? Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. Okay, there you are. If you refuse to worship the image of the beast, you will be killed. Straight out. Go to 76. Then they cut it off at 76, period. You're going to be killed if you refuse to worship the image of the beast. And he's going to make it live. Okay, so dude is going to make the statue come to life. Now what do you think all your friends and family are going to say to you when you say, I refuse, I'm keeping Shabbat? What do you think they're going to say to you then? If you can't bear it now, what do you think they're going to say then? And they're going to hunt you down like a pack animal because you're either going to worship or die. It's that simple. It's that simple. You know why? Because God's not going to pour out His wrath on anybody that has His blood. And the wrath is going to be poured out. So if you don't make the cut, you are going to be killed. So I say get in line early. Don't wait around to the end. Just head on in. He was given power. Okay, He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. You keeping the holy days? You got God's mark firmly in place from the holy days? Because if you don't, you got room. You got a space. So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is a man's number. His number is Chi Zi Stigma. And in the Old King James, they write it that way. They don't try to put an Arabic numeral on there because they didn't have Arabic numerals. They're going to have those for 600 something years from the writing of this. It's a chi, it's a zi, and it's a stigma. Chi is the first letter for the name Christos in the Greek. Stigma is the last letter for the Christos in the Old Greek. And zi looks like a serpent. He wrote that so that you could tell. It looks like the Christos on the outside. Oh, it looks so nice. It looks so sweet. They're doing everything the way they're supposed to do, but inside is the heart of the snake. What's the heart of the snake? Disobey God. He's been saying it from the Garden of Eden. You don't got to do what God said. Eat from the tree of deciding for yourself what's right and wrong. Then you'll be like God. Oh, you're not going to surely die. Has anyone ever benefited from the lie of the snake? Has there ever been one human being to profit and say, the snake made me great? Can anyone ever say that? Has not all mankind gone to the grave under his own sin? Obey God. I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. And the sound I heard was that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. They followed the Lamb wherever He goes. They were purchased from among men and offered His first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. And the Seventh-day Adventists think they're the 144. The Jehovah Witnesses think they're the 144. We thought we were the 144 worldwide and actually got to that in feast observance one year. And yet all of these things obviously are wrong. Because they're all based on following the rules of men. You will not make that cut if you follow the rules of men. You've got to follow the rules of God. It's the obedient to Him that make the cut. It's the obedient to Him that make the cut. Live in His way. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. For those of you on CD, we're going to close with 1 Peter 1, verse 13 to 23. And he said in a loud voice, "Fear God! Fear God!" What does that mean, to fear God? It means to obey God. When you fear God, you obey God. If you don't obey God, you do not fear God. "Give Him the glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." And the second angel followed and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." And a third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath." Do you want that? See, we're going to talk about the three harvests on the first day of unleavened bread: the barley harvest, the wheat harvest, and the grape harvest. This is the grape harvest right here. I'm not going to finish reading all of this chapter 14, but this is the grape harvest. These are the people that are going to drink the cup of God's wrath to the very dregs. God is not, if you read on, is not going to allow them to die. Though all these plagues come on them, He's going to keep people supernaturally alive, because they're going to drink His wrath to the dregs, and they're going to suffer every punishment that follows in the next three or four chapters. It's ugly. It will wake you up. It will make you fear. And that's the whole purpose of it. Because, see, these are the hard case people who refuse to obey God. And